sensible to me that you would take your baseline from a different point to where you'd be recording as if where the resonance. So you've got a high baseline and a low low noise used to make that assessment. In terms of, I would also note that the New South Wales EPA's Guide to Noise Policy for Industry statement about community input and engagement is vital for the effective management of noise impact statements, and I'll come back to that, but I just want to make that point that I've had a look at that. There is mention in the plan of management, there is mention in the plan of...
How much more have you got? Because I'm just conscious there's about five people...
I can do it in under a minute, I promise.
Okay, that's good.
So in the plan of management, there's a talk about ongoing community engagement. I would like you to ask McDonald's when they last engaged with the community, because I spoke to the next door neighbours just now to confirm when they last spoke to McDonald's, and at their initiation, they spoke to them 2 years ago. They said to me they've given up trying, and I think this is a point I'd like to just conclude with when I've just made a few more points. So the other problem we have is how are we going to monitor this? This is not like a pub where people are outside congregating. People are driving in, they're driving out. The likelihood is that they're going to have loud noise coming from their car. By the time someone is woken by that noise, gets up from their bed, goes to see why they were woken and tries to make some report of it, there's no way that they can see where that car has come from. When we asked for trial originally, we refused the council refused to do video surveillance with noise monitoring. I note that McDonald's wanted to remove, and the council has agreed to removing the noise acoustic monitoring. And again, they also wanted to remove the security personnel. Now, the security personnel hopefully have been keeping incidents low. So the reason to remove them is that incidents are low. Well, that's because the security personnel are there. To me, it shows that McDonald's really are concerned with reducing their costs, but they're not concerned with the amenity of residents. They don't meet with residents. They don't try and do the sorts of things that are going to show that they're a good neighbour. I also note from the assessing officer's report mentioned that McDonald's were fined for trucks going up St. David's Road repeatedly, and that even after they fined, they continued to do it. Again, the point I'm trying to make is they're not a good neighbour. They are not doing their best, and to me, I haven't shown in the 8 years that they've been operating, or I think it's about 7 years, that they are going to be a good neighbour who is going to be concerned about keeping that noise down and concerned to meet with residents and assure them that they are creating a safe place to live. But in terms of the trial, how do we monitor it? How is that information going to be collected? What KPIs will be used to determine whether the trial in fact is a success or a failure? It's very, very hard if we're only going to use, say, crime statistics, incidents of graffiti or some sort of disturbance. It's very hard with noise. But we know that noise, once it wakes you up, it's hard to go back to sleep, and it has health impacts.
Yeah, I think we understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So just to conclude, this process for me has been 7 years and for many residents, and I've been sort of try to coordinate a very wide group of residents, all with different views. But I can only say that it has, and I think I would be speaking for all the residents, we feel completely disempowered by how this whole thing has gone about. And to now think that McDonald's will be able to disturb residents between midnight and 5 a.m. and that we somehow will have to monitor that and report incidents when we've been woken up, is another adding insult to injury. And I hope that the panel has the power to put right some of the things that weren't maybe considered when this original decision was made.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the panel? Yep.
Mr. Braun, I know you've probably seen the proposed plan of management that they've submitted. In looking through it very quickly, the only clause that I can see that would in fact go somewhat towards your satisfaction is clause 5, which is called consultation and assessment. And it just says McDonald's are committed to ongoing consultation with adjoining property owners, police and council to foster a better understanding of the relevant safety and security issues. Would you say that was just words, if to put it more?
Unfortunately, that's exactly what it's been. We would love to think that McDonald's really cared about their community and their local area enough to actually be proactive. And we've had nothing. So Kath and Joe are living right next door. They're at number seven down Housie Street. So they join the basis. Then they're older people. They've been living there for many, many years, well before McDonald's. Yes. And their words to me on the phone just now, we've given up trying. Because they don't feel that anything they talk about is ameliorated in any way. So it gets to the point that when residents have given up, I've been sending emails out to all the residents and trying to get them interested in here. I think that they think this is a foregone conclusion. They don't believe that you are going to do something to constrain the operation of McDonald's. They've given up. A lot of people have given up. And I think it's a really sad thing for our democracy when residents feel that their council isn't going to stand up for them. And I hope that's partly can be your role.
Through you, Mr. Chair. In terms of the consent conditions that are there, and I draw your attention firstly to, do you have a copy with you? Okay, so I'm looking at consent condition 21, page 683. It's the noise monitoring system, and part of what you're talking about there relates to that. It's proposed through the recommendations that condition be deleted, but that's obviously a condition that you would like retained, given it's the noise monitoring provision associated, one aspect of it.
Yes, we would have had no idea where that noise monitoring has been kept, the actual data has been kept, or how we would access it, whether there's an ongoing report that's sent to council showing what the results of that. To be honest, I'd forgotten it was even there, but I see it as symptomatic of wanting to remove it, as symptomatic of wanting to avoid scrutiny.
Yeah.
And that's the issue, is if you were showing to the residents that you really wanted to do this in the right way, to be a good neighbour, to make sure that your operation of 24 hours is going to have the least impact, I would think you'd want to keep it there and say, we're happy that we've got a signal that maybe the noise is a bit loud. The problem is, as you with the pub, you were saying, there's rules about 50 metres. We don't have that. It's not a pub.
That's right.
And the cars, it's a drive-through. So cars enter and leave this premises. And we understand, none of us can control how people behave. McDonald's is the magnet for the people. That's the only thing we can control, if you want to control that. It's the magnet that draws those people. And
that's fine. In terms of that, I just want to do that. And obviously, if that was reinstated, we would want to, and this is a 12-month trial that is being recommended, we would want to ensure that the data is kept and made available to ensure that if an extension was going on, what that data actually showed at the conclusion of the 12-month trial as well.
I forgot, but you now prompted me, is say 3 months in, people have been kept up ongoing for 3 months, we've done everything to ameliorate it, nothing's changed. Are we going to say we're going to put people through another 9 months of not being able to sleep? I think that's the other thing. There's a lot of onus on letting this happen. I don't think it should be the other way around, by the way, because if you think about it, the noise might take time to present, because people take time to get to know that it's a 24-hour McDonald's. But I think there should be break clauses in there. If you were to go with this, there should be an ability to stop this trial if we can see that there's detrimental effect to residents. It feels like we're guinea pigs to what McDonald's wants to do.
Okay. Thank you. And I would like to, just in relation to point four, security personnel, there's a notation in there to include it's page 676. There's a section headed part four, security personnel. Two security guards will carry out regular patrols within the site, including car park areas and in an area within 100 metres of the site. Patrols are to be undertaken every 2 hours on a random basis on Sunday to Thursday and every 1 hour Friday and Saturday until 10 p.m. Obviously, based on what you're saying, that could be a drive-through patrol, not necessarily a walk-around patrol, and whether that provision adequately covers. I'm thinking from what you're saying that that would not be sufficient. It would be more about having personnel on site at the time. Would that be correct?
I think you've got a multitude of problems here. Yes, there is, we've seen from... I did some research on the reported news reports of disturbance at fast food restaurants late at night, and there's definitely the ability for rows and drunken people to go into fast food restaurants and create disturbance inside the restaurant. So your security personnel, you'd think in that between midnight and 5 a.m. would be needed there. So the idea that there's only two of them, they both go out and they're not protecting the property, I don't know how you cover it. But the other thing is, if people are driving away, what are they going to do if they're playing noise loud out of their cars? So we don't want to catastrophize what might happen, but you think about the profile of people who will go to a fast food restaurant between midnight and 5 a.m. Sure, there might be some people who work late or have different work hours, but I think, certainly on weekends, and this is the irony, is sometimes McDonald's are given the right to open up 24 hours on weekends, but not during the week, because obviously I understand people want to sleep before work.
That's right. I'm really conscious of time.
Sorry,
just really want specific in relation to that, if that was extended.
My issue is I don't see how the security personnel can be in two places at once, and I don't see how they can stop car noise once a car's driving away. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll get on to... Now... we've now got Mr. Di Giusto. Am I saying it correctly?
Di Giusto.
Di Giusto. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Can you just press the button for me, please?
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for this opportunity. Thank you, Chair and committee members and council staff, for whom no doubt this has been a long day, and I will do my best to be brief. I just want to start by establishing my own credibility in terms of what I'm about to say. I am a professional researcher with a 40-year history of doing academic research, social science and health research and evaluation work. I'm asking that the planning panel refuse this request for 24 hours, 7-day-a-week trading, including refusal of any new 12-month trial. In collaboration with Ashfield Council staff, back then I was actually involved in designing the methodology for the original trial, which was carried out to a high-quality standard, which involved systematic detailed collection of 8 or 9 sets of data, and which I think cost council and ratepayers around $200,000. To do a similar trial today would probably cost $300,000. In some ways, the trial was similar to the evaluation of the impact of the Safe Heroin Injecting Centre in King's Cross, which was carried out about 15, 20 years ago. At the time of that trial, I was working at Uni of New South Wales in a national research centre which implemented that trial. And it's just to give you an idea of the kind of environment that I work in. There was overwhelming community opposition to the original 24/7 trading application. There were hundreds of written submissions to the council, thousands of signatures on petitions. The council rejected the application twice, and the Land and Environment Court in due course accepted a 12-month trial of 24/7 trading. This is very unusual. This was the first time in Australia that a trial like this was imposed on a drive-through restaurant, which is normally only imposed on brothels and very problematic pubs. McDonald's chose to withdraw their application for 24/7 trading rather than allow the trial data to be placed on public record in a court case. It is reasonable to assume that they would only have withdrawn their application because the data would have demonstrated the adverse impact that the restaurant had on the local residential community. There's no other reason to have done this. So there was a cost to the council of a couple of $100,000, and the data apparently have not been analysed. This is just ridiculous. The original trial data should be analysed and a report published before a decision is made to allow 24/7 trading or even to allow another 12-month trial. Doing this kind of evaluation work at a high standard is complex and expensive. A low-quality trial would be a waste of effort. It would be token. If a new trial is permitted, McDonald's should be required to cover its full cost, and it should be required to do that to the original methodological standard. It should also be required to agree at the outset that any newly collected trial data will be made public, even if the trial is terminated prematurely. Finally, I believe... half a minute to go. Yeah, I believe that there's a strong likelihood...
I assume this, your major point is that McDonald's should fund an independent trial if this was to go ahead.
Not quite. My major point is that the original data should be analysed and reported on because it will be very difficult to replicate that level of quality now.
Well, I thought that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean the
original data
20 years ago?
Yeah, the original data that's on the record should be analysed and reported on. That's there. You won't get a better quality set of data than that set of data.
I'm just confirming it's the data from 2012 to 2013,
yes.
6 years ago, that you're referring to.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting should be analysed.
Yeah.
Before anything else is done. And I believe there's a strong likelihood that the 24/7 trading will result in significant extra noise disturbance and antisocial behaviour in Haberfield, which is currently a very quiet residential area at night. The reason for this is there are 8 nearby pubs and clubs which trade until between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. This McDonald's is the nearest McDonald's to all of those places, and it will be a honeypot for that kind of person late at night and early morning. These pubs will be discharging inebriated, hungry people for whom the McDonald's restaurant will be a convenient source of food. The role of the McDonald's staff will be to remove intoxicated or violent persons from the premises, who will then drive or walk into nearby streets.
Mm-hmm.
Given that there are 3 other 24/7 McDonald's within a few kilometres, there is no community need for this one to trade 24/7. That's all.
All right. Thank you. Any questions?
No questions.
No, thank you. That's valuable input for us. All right. So you're saying that the new freeway tunnels come out right at the McDonald's or just near it, and so that's going to feed customers to there early in the morning.
I hadn't actually mentioned that today, and I've reconsidered that. It seems unlikely that there will be a lot of extra people going towards the city early in the morning, more likely coming home from the city.
Okay.
I think the major concern is all the pubs and clubs that are nearby, which are likely to be attracted to this as a late night source of food.
Okay, thank you. Here's a question.
Just in relation to the location of the McDonald's site and the data that was done in 2012-13, the M, whatever it is, WestConnex, wasn't there. So I would imagine, even as you say, and I would imagine it's correct, that it will be very high-quality data. I think you find a lot of the data will be very different because of the changed road circumstances around the site and access to and from it.
WestConnex... is partially bypassing the 24/7 McDonald's at Five Dock. So people who start further west and come down that road will not be stopping at Five Dock. They're more likely to be stopping at Haberfield, which is just after the exit, the city-bound exit from that tunnel. I would expect that, if anything, there will be more traffic going past this site than there was 8 years ago.
I just think because the site conditions have changed so much that fresh data would be a good idea, good quality fresh data, because things have changed significantly around the site.
The problem will be the cost of doing this to the original standard. This would seriously involve, you know, $300,000. The original heroin trial, the heroin injecting room trial, which was largely an assessment of the impact of that facility on the King's Cross area, cost more than $2 million 20 years ago. This is really hard work to do. To do it well is hard and expensive.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Di Giusto, is that correct?
Doctor.
Ah, thank you. Doctor. Next, I have Malachy Ward. Is he here? Ah, Mr. Ward. Yes, Mr. Maliki.
My name is Maliki Ward, and I live in Haberfield, but I'm actually speaking on behalf of the Haberfield Association. Who registered separately, and you would have received a submission from the Haberfield Association, which had a number of points in it, some of which have already been covered by the other speakers, so I will not repeat what they have to say. Mm-hmm. One point that I did want to make was that the original notification from council was for McDonald's to operate 24/7. It didn't say in the original notification that they also wanted to scrap their security guards and to abandon the noise monitoring. And we feel that if council had been more open on the full extent of the application, there would have been more objections from Haberfield residents, mm-hmm. because one of our biggest concerns is noise, mm-hmm. which has already been covered elsewhere. In the recommendation from council, they have recommended that there be litter patrols. Now, I live quite some distance from the McDonald's restaurant, and on occasions I will find McDonald's rubbish outside my door. Now, how on earth it gets there, I've got no idea. But in the recommendation from council, they have recommended that there be litter patrols in surrounding streets and Ashfield Park. It is my contention, and I would urge the panel to extend the scope of those litter patrols to cover the whole suburb. For the other point that I had to make here, which has already been made, is concerning the noise report. It appears that council accepted that noise report that was done on behalf of McDonald's. It appears that council accepted it without comment, without question, and as Nick has already covered, in their sources of noise, they didn't really consider car stereos. And we all know when we're driving along and somebody goes past in a car nearby with their loud stereo, that your car vibrates. So we should think about what effect that is going to have on nearby residents.
You mean woofers?
Yes,
in
indeed,
the car.
Yes.
I think we've all had a woofer beside us at stoplights or something.
Okay, that was all I had to say.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a question.
You did mention the removal of the security personnel, but in fact, if you've read the report, the officers recommend not occur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My point was that in the notification from council, it wasn't clear
originally.
The full extent was. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Jim.
Okay. All right. Next, we have Madeleine Perignon.
Hello. So I'm a resident and a lawyer, so I will concentrate on the legal aspect. And the cases referred to below are referenced in my original submissions. So I request that the 24/7 trading application be refused, given that the site is located next to a residential area with houses on three sides, And given it's likely there'll be considerable detrimental impact on residential amenity all through the night. In the 2011 VCAT decision of McDonald's and Knox, VCAT refused 24/7 trading by McDonald's because the site was in a residential area with no buffering between residential and business, which is the same as the Haberfield site. In the 2012 VCAT decision of McDonald's and Stonington, the tribunal refused consent to 24/7 trading by McDonald's and held that rowdy patron behaviour does not have to be aggressive, violent or unruly. It may arise due to being inconsiderate, such as leaving a car running and music playing. It could arise out of jocular behaviour. It just needs to be loud and to occur in the vicinity of buildings. So this type of behaviour could easily occur late at night and early in the morning and impact the residents. In the 2007 VCAT decision of McDonald's in Mornington Peninsula, the tribunal refused consent to McDonald's for 24/7, given that late night noise might just be normal customer behaviour, such as people talking and laughing loudly and not even unruly behaviour. So I'm not talking about antisocial behaviour, I'm just talking about normal patron behaviour. And it's my experience as a St David's Road resident that patrons don't always eat at the restaurant or in the car park. They drive to adjacent streets, such as St David's, and a Dalhousie Street resident has told me she's got the same experience in Dalhousie. So all through the night, patrons apparently like to leave the restaurant and eat in neighbouring streets. Further, there are already three other 24/7 McDonald's within 5 kilometres of the Haberfield site, which are located in commercial areas and therefore more suitable for 24/7 trading. The council's assessing officer in his report to the panel asserted that the proximity of other McDonald's isn't relevant to the assessment of this application. However, in the 2004 New South Wales Land and Environment Court decision of Studio and Waverley Council, the court held that the less need there is for a proposed development, the more regard should be given to any detrimental impact on amenity. Therefore, regard must be given to the proximity of the other nearby McDonald's. In the Mornington Peninsula decision, the tribunal held that no community need had been established to justify the 24-hour trade. That's also my position concerning McDonald's Haberfield application. 30 more seconds, if I can, please. There is no demonstrable social benefit or community need in allowing another 24/7 trading McDonald's, particularly given the likely consequential detrimental impact on residents nearby. Further, 24/7 trading would mean no respite for residents. In the 2012 VCAT decision, McDonald's and Greater Bendigo, the tribunal refused consent to McDonald's trading 24/7 as it decided that it was important that residents were afforded some respite from the detrimental impacts of McDonald's. Likewise, Haberfield residents should also be allowed respite from McDonald's impacts. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Any questions? No. The other McDonald's nearby that are in commercial, I know there's one at 5 Dock, and I know one on Parramatta Road closer into the city. I think it's Stanmore.
Stanmore. And one at Croydon.
Croydon.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I've never spotted that one. Okay. Righto.
Yeah, surrounded by it.
Oh, down near Great North Road.
Yeah, down near Great North Road. The other McDonald's at... Yes, it's on Parramatta Road. Yeah. The other one is near at... further along is near Office Works and KFC and Subway and a big service station.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And then this one is near Great North
Road. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next I have the Haberfield Association, but I think we've already heard from them.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Now I've got Steve O'Connor. You're a planner, Mr. O'Connor. Are you for the applicant? Yes, you can. So that's Ben Holden, is it? Okay, well, both of you come up. There's two chairs.
My partner Ben and I, Mr. Chair, are the owners of McDonald's Haberfield, so we might co-present to this and then field any questions together.
All right.
Afterwards, if that's okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you to the Chair and also to the panel for having us here today. My partner Ben and myself are the local owner-operators of McDonald's Haberfield. We have a family-run business and a family-owned business together that we also operate another 9 McDonald's restaurants, 5 of which are already 24/7. We are very experienced McDonald's operators in this area, and we also live within the trading area of our 10 restaurants. It puts us in good stead that with the experience that we have with the store being a franchise store and not a company store, as we have experience in this area, and we have no doubt that we can operate this restaurant within the rules and guidelines of the application, which of course we're in support of, without impacting our neighbours or the Haberfield community. We purchased the Haberfield restaurant as our 10th restaurant 12 months ago and have established that there's a need and an appetite for the community with ever-changing lifestyles of shift workers, emergency workers, people on different shifts at the moment to service the community for 24 hours. In the event of the successful application, we would require another 5 employees per day to run the store 24/7, which would be approximately an extra 30 young adults that we would hire for this process. We already have 148 staff just in the Haberfield restaurant alone, and 90% of those staff are Haberfield locals, who are very proud that we hire locally, and I meet their parents every day. We're very hands-on operators with all our stores. We're very hands-on within our restaurants and the local communities. It's been great over the last 12 months, and particularly the last 3 months, to meet the Staff Principal and Parents Association of the Haberfield Primary School, where we sponsored their Talent Quest, and also the Joan of Arc Primary Schools, where we sponsored their Trivia Night. That was all within a three-month period. I am aware, or we are aware, that there was a trial when the store first opened with 24-hour trading, and the decision was made not to extend. The restaurant, like I said, was opened by the corporation. It was opened by McDonald's Australia Limited and run as a company-owned restaurant. In the McDonald's business, and I say this respectfully as a partner of McDonald's, we do run our restaurants better under franchise. We are more hands-on, we're more engaged, and we're more involved locally with our employees, our police, local government, and also our residents and community. I might just hand over to Ben quickly. I know we've only got 11 seconds left, but he might just speak to some of the objections that were made on this.
Okay.
Yes, that's cool. Yeah, cool.
pardon me. We might give you just a little more than 11 seconds.
Okay, no, that's all right. Okay, so just with regards to the noise, the site's got significant acoustic fencing, acoustic roofing over the drive-thru, acoustic panels in the car park basement as well. As you know, we did have some noise testing completed, which confirmed that we're operating within the guidelines during the current trading hours, and we don't see a major change to that post-midnight. Also, talking to noise, given that we haven't had any noise complaints whatsoever in the lead-up to midnight, we can only assume that you're still going to have a very similar clientele at that time of night. So, we assume that, we don't see an impact going forward. With regards to litter, we conduct regular litter patrols in accordance with the DA, and we take immediate action if any neighbours give us a call about rubbish that's been missed or something that's been dropped between those times. And
How far away do they go?
We go up to, I don't know the actual number, it's like a few hundred metres up Dalhousie and then back again, and then a few hundred metres up St David's and then across into the park as well. So that's in accordance with the DA, which is in our plan of management. And with regards to odour, we've got a particularly advanced electrostatic filtration and ozone treatment system for our exhaust. And in the last couple of months, we've moved to a wool filter system within the restaurant, which means that we're basically only exhausting, a clear odourless gas. And we don't see any impact, by trading 24 hours in that regard as well. With regards to security, we've invested $20,000 in a brand new security system, a CCTV system. And to our knowledge, we've only actually had one incident in the last 12 months where the police have had to be called, and it was actually in the middle of the day in the car park with a customer who had a mental health episode related to paper straws. So obviously, look, we're, as the operators, we're very supportive and believe we can definitely operate within the requirements of this DA. And in any case where we don't meet those requirements, you know, we give both the panel and our neighbours a commitment that we'll rectify it as soon as humanly possible. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
What have you got to say about the objectors' concerns? They seem to think that there's a lot more incidents than that in one a year.
Yeah, there's a bit of a disconnection there, to be honest. I meet our neighbours. A lot of them are regular customers, including the gentleman next door that was referred to. He comes into the store, and I have a very different view of his opinion of the store than what was said. So I see a disconnect, which I'm happy to do community consultation to fix that disconnect. We have a lot of residents from both roads in the Haberfield community. Like I said, we employ from the Haberfield community. I've met them in the store. We just had McHappy Day on Saturday, and I met a number of the local residents. It seems like a lot that are being spoken about are not making contact with the restaurant or talking or asking for us, which we're totally happy to deal with personally with community consultation.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that from what has been said that a lot of the issues are cars as they accelerate away from the restaurant, possibly with their woofers going on their stereo sets. What can you do about that sort of thing?
The restaurant's very different to a lot of the restaurants on Parramatta Road, and the restaurant's it's more of an inbound restaurant. And there we do trade till midnight now. We are in the store, closing the store till 1 a.m, but obviously not trading. And we're back in there at 4 and then reopening at 5. So the window's really, really quite short. McDonald's Haberfield is not a restaurant that actually gets people that hang around, you know, take off in their cars, have their woofers going, loud music, etc. I haven't received one noise complaint or one comment from a neighbour, from council, from police, or from anyone locally in the 12 months that we've had the store. Well, police are not often there. We've called them once in the last 12 months, and as a result of that, we've called them once, and yeah, that was during the day.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just wondering, do you feel that there really is a demand, or is it appropriate for another McDonald's to open 24/7, given there are already several within very close Kooee who operate 24/7?
It is a little bit easier to operate sometimes 24/7 than if we're, as the store gains volume and gets a little bit busier, than to open on volume and close on volume. Sometimes that can cause, rather than people being able to leave the premises smoothly throughout that period, congregation at the premises, like closing at a specific time. Because the window is so small, like I said, we're talking probably 4 or 5 hours currently. It would be easier just to smooth that out and trade. So I do believe that there is a need for it based on the sales curve that the store's been experiencing.
Sorry, I think the question, though, was that there are several in the sort of nearby immediate vicinity, to use the word vicinity, as we now know what that means. The question is, is the community interest best served by another 24-hour facility, or are there enough there already?
There probably hasn't been a need for it in the past, but I believe there is a need for another one at McDonald's Haberfield, yes, to answer the question.
Okay, thanks.
So a couple of the key issues that come up for me in this, and we've touched on some of them, is, and you can address at some point, is there was mention about an independent trial for the 12-month. This is a 12-month application, obviously. So at the end of that 12-month, there's got to be some validation or otherwise as to whether that should or should not continue. So how would you propose to ensure an independent trial to be included?
Yeah, sure. So
I've just got a couple which obviously link in. Then there's the provision in relation to, I note the removal of the noise provision, I think it was, sorry, I have to get the number for you again, 21 I think it was, to reinstate. That was a clause, a condition in it, which obviously relates into the trial again. And the security personnel, in terms from where I'm looking at about whether an actual security person is physically on site, between 12 midnight and 5 a.m. And I know that adds to cost, and I take that into consideration, certainly, and I don't say it lightly, but it is a trial period. And if it's indicated that there is no need for that, obviously that would change in the future. But they're certainly the things that I consider, and obviously we'll come to the leader shortly, but they're ones that kind of all link in together. If you have any comment in relation to that, I'd be interested.
Yeah, thanks. I take that on note because it's probably more appropriate that we then hear from our planning or consultant on some of those more technical issues as it refers to the application, if that's okay. Otherwise, we'll probably just be doubling up. Is that okay? Thank you.
Yeah, just on that question, I had made a note here on the restoration of Condition 21 that the data from the monitor must be reviewed by council every 3 months during the trial and discussed with nearby residents and the Haberfield Association at a public meeting. Would you accept that sort of condition?
Yeah, we will talk to the planner, but like I said, I will consult with ever we need to throughout this trial process. So, yes.
Right, okay. Thanks. Okay, we need to hear from your planner, is it? Unless there's another question.
No. Thank you.
Mr. O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and panel members and council staff, for the opportunity to address you in relation to this matter. As you're aware, it's a modification application under section 4.56 of the EPN Act, which is a rather unusual modification. It's a modification of a consent granted by the Land Environment Court. Under that section of the Act, there are four key things that a consent authority must consider. Firstly, whether it meets substantially the same test. Secondly, whether notification has happened in accordance with the regulations. Thirdly, you must consider any submissions that are received in response to those regulations. And finally, you're referred to section 4.15 of the Act, which talks about all the heads of consideration when considering a DA. Fortunately, the panel has before it a comprehensive report from council officers. If you go to page 668 of that report, there is a compliance table measuring the proposed modification against those four requirements that I just mentioned under 4.56. Then the report goes on to talk about each of the three modifications that we've requested, and I'll talk about what they are in just a moment, though you've heard a lot about it already. And finally, the report goes through each of those heads of consideration under section 4.15 of the EPNA Act. So it talks about environmental planning instruments, DCPs, impact, suitability of the site, submissions, public interest, etc. So you've got a very comprehensive report in front of you that I think ticks all the requirements that are stipulated under the Act. If I turn to the modification application actually sought, there were basically three things we sought in that application. Firstly, to modify the plan of management. That plan of management is now 7 or 8 years old, and it's a static document because it's fixed by the condition. So we looked to update that, and amongst those updates, we sought to take away the monitoring, the noise monitoring that occurs on site, and also not have a requirement to have the security people on site as currently required in the management plan. A third requirement or request was related to extending the hours from midnight when the store closes at present to 5 a.m. in the morning when it reopens, so to make it a 24/7 operation. You'll note from the report in front of you that whilst some of the things we've requested have been supported by council staff, some haven't. So removing the security personnel on site hasn't been agreed to. It's been taken out of the plan of management, but the council staff have inserted a condition which specifically requires those security people on site. Secondly, the online notification system that we proposed in the plan of management to replace the current notification system. Council are supportive of that. Thirdly, council officers weren't supportive of the extending the trading hours, but they were comfortable with recommending reinstatement of the trial, which was originally part of the consent issued by the court. And you've heard that that trial was discontinued. So to sum up, the council officers have agreed to some of the requested changes, not agreed to others, and provided, I guess, a way forward to seek to implement some of the things that we'd suggested. So from our client's point of view, it's a bit of a mixed result, but as you've just heard from them, they're happy to accept what the council officers have proposed and are pleased to have the opportunity to answer any questions that the panel might have.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to get your address straight away with my last question, which was around the an independent trial, the security personnel in terms of being on site between 12 midnight and 5 a.m., one person permanently on site. The way the clause at point four of the consent conditions that's been drafted could well be just a security patrol driving through once every 2 hours or once every 1 hour after midnight, and I don't certainly see that that meets some of the needs that have arisen. That's the main things, the security and the noise, and obviously then the noise provision, it's been taken out. I would be looking at reinserting that. So your views in relation to that, if you would.
If I can start with the last point about the noise monitoring on site. The modification application we submitted had a comprehensive acoustic report attached to it. It did an assessment of the data that had been recorded and did actually on-site recording as well, and came to the conclusion that we not only, or our clients not only, meet all their current requirements, if it were extended to a 24/7 requirement, that then we would also be likely to meet those noise requirements. So when the council officers were in agreement with that noise monitoring system being taken out of the plan and management, at the same time they've recommended to you that you put a new condition on the consent which requires us to be compliant with the EPA's requirements under the relevant legislation about noise. So we would have a new condition on us saying we have to meet EPA requirements for noise. Our response would be we think we have demonstrated that the noise is satisfactory, and as our clients said, the last 12 months they haven't had any complaints. I'm not aware of council receiving any complaints. Council officers were happy to accept the acoustic report and didn't have any concerns with discontinuing the ongoing monitoring, the condition that requires ongoing monitoring. In relation to the independent trial, I think the first thing we'd have to do is sit down with council officers and develop those KPIs that would be applied during the trial, and I can't preempt what that would be. We'd need to meet and liaise with council officers. And in relation to the security staff, believe me, the current arrangement isn't just a cursory drive in and drive out. I could ask my clients to come back and explain exactly what does happen, but those security personnel are there. It's a four-hour shift that they do on site, and there's two of them. That condition has again been reinforced in what the council staff have recommended to you. So we would certainly see that would have to be maintained.
Sorry, I'm just confirming then, in relation to point four about security personnel, what you just said then isn't what's actually written there. You said four-hour shifts, where they're doing four-hour shifts, two of them are on site. That's actually not what's reflected there in terms of consent conditions. So you're saying it's much higher than that?
It's over and above what the consent conditions do at the current arrangements, yes.
So would there be any issue then if we incorporated what is actually happening into the actual consent conditions?
I'd have to check with my clients about that, but I can't answer that question.
Well, I think the clients deferred to you on condition 21 noise monitoring.
Yes.
We're thinking, having heard what we've heard tonight, reinstating condition 21 with the requirement that data from the monitor to be reviewed by council every 3 months and discussed with nearby residents and Haberfield Association at a public meeting. And also, so I'm tossing up whether or not to be truly independent that McDonald's provide funds to council to for council to appoint an independent acoustic expert. How do you feel about that?
Well, again, it's an expense my client would have to incur, so I can't commit without talking to them about it. Mm. But I don't believe that would be a major issue. I mean, we've got a lot of faith in the independent report that we've commissioned, and we don't believe a further independent report that council would commission would come with any different result.
Mm-hmm. And I would do the follow-on from that those statistics be available at the end of the trial to then determine what should happen going forward. So if, for example, there was no issues associated with noise, that may then not have to continue going forward after the 12-month period, or it may, depending on the outcome of what that information says, that data says.
Yes, that makes sense to me. If we establish with council what they need in terms of meeting whatever KPIs they set, then that's what would be monitored. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Any other questions? Well, do you want to just ask your clients? And then, so we know which way they're going? Take your seat again, would you, thank you.
Just briefly, the original trial involved very extensive data collection. There were survey forms distributed widely in the community which amounted to statutory declarations for reporting of incidents, traffic monitoring continuously across all the nearby roads, security patrols at predefined random intervals for the purposes of a step. This was done very scientifically. It was far more than noise monitoring on site. This is a very complex operation to prove, to measure the impact of this on the local community. It's far beyond local noise monitoring.
Yes, I understand.
Thank you. But I'm also very conscious, the same as Ms. Day, that was 6 years ago, and there's a lot changed in our community in that time. So I actually am the same as Ms. Day, that I would not consider that information. It's about new and current information. Yeah. But I appreciate it was obviously a very extensive trial that occurred.
It should be done well.
I agree. Doesn't mean it can't
but the condition is only monitoring on site, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a matter of how we work. Right.
Mr. O'Connor.
Look, my clients are receptive to what you're suggesting. However, they can't just sign a blank check, so they would want to have us meet with council staff, work out what those KPIs are, get an idea what an independent consultant's going to cost before they could make a firm commitment that they would meet all those costs, but they are receptive.
Okay, well, that means we can put the condition in, and if they have a dispute with it, there's actions available to them for reconsideration.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Any other questions from the panel? The panel's going to adjourn briefly to just put its decision together on this matter. So I can't say exactly how long that might be, but not too long. Thank you. We'll resume this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel, and the panel had adjourned to discuss its decision in item 8. As you might know from the time we were away, there was quite strong discussion amongst the panel as to the final decision on this matter. And we are not unanimous on this one, I must say. We find ourselves at some variation to the council officer's report due to the strong representations and assurances that we've received from those residents of Haberfield, who have experienced the operation of the McDonald's outlet over the past few years. We have therefore made a decision that I will read out, and then I'll ask the panel to vote. That the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, refused development application number 10.2009.157.2 for modification of hours of operation to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, subject to a trial period at 141 Parramatta Road, Haberfield, for the reasons below. And the reasons for refusal are: one, this fast food outlet is located within an otherwise quiet residential area, except for having frontage to Parramatta Road. Two, Parramatta Road is a classified main road that gives no access to the site, and therefore all access is via Dalhousie Street and St David's Road, and these are quiet residential streets at night. Three, as a result, all traffic to and from the McDonald's is via Dalhousie and St David's, either from Parramatta Road or from within the quiet suburban area of Haberfield. Four, residents gave strong assurances that already noise from traffic coming and going from the site and whilst on the site can cause a disturbance in nearby houses and apartments due to loud car stereos, some with noise boosters, in brackets subwoofers, loud engines, loud talking by patrons at night, and occasional boisterous behaviour made worse with occasional misbehaviour. Five, that the methodology and feasibility of any monitoring during the trial that was proposed has not been demonstrated. There are serious doubts as to whether appropriate monitoring is possible. Now I'll ask the panel to vote. And
yes. Aye.
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 No against.
Thank you. We have Kath Roach in the negative. Did you wish to make an observation?
I need to state my reasons for the record, given I'm a dissenting vote on the panel. I will provide these in writing to you at the end to make it easier. My reasons are, though, that in relation to this application, whilst I respect the views of the panel, my panel colleagues, I am of the view that the 12-month trial could be undertaken within the conditions of consent as recommended by staff with some amendments relating to noise, increased levels of security, increased litter patrols and an independent monitoring and review of data for review at the conclusion of the 12-month trial period. It's for these reasons that I dissent in relation to this matter, and I'll provide that in writing for the minutes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Kath. All right, that concludes item 8. We now go to the last item on the agenda today, item 9. Item 9 is application number 10.2019.13, 202 Parramatta Road, Ashfield. And it the proposal is demolition of existing structures. Demolition of existing structures, tree removal and construction of a Woolworths supermarket with liquor outlet and cafe over an at-grade and basement car park, including signage and associated landscaping and drainage works. Now, I have, again, a number of people to speak on this matter. I've got Sharon Laura, Praveen Trivedi, Maria Bell, Rachel Davies, Donald Challoner, who I believe is the architect, Claire Brown, who is from Urbis Town Planners, and Tim Rogers, who is traffic from CBRK. Are they all present? So I can call the first, Sharon Laura.
Good
you'd like to speak, please. You need to press the button, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, look, thank you for hearing this. You've seen the submission that I put in. Mm-hmm. I've got a few points, and I'll be brief, I hope. It's got shorter as the day's gone longer. I would like to acknowledge that the process of engagement that we've had with Woolworths as a resident has actually been